Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. We thank God, as Pastor Bill said, for good to have Pastor Mrs. Hagen back with us this morning, and Pastor bringing a good word as he did. Amen. And we want to look to the word again tonight here for a brief time and hopefully encourage ourselves. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the basics, or let me say this, the base by which we have authority. Why, as Christians, do we have authority? And if you would, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is, and this is just one aspect of our authority that we're talking about tonight. And I want us to read from Ephesians chapter 1. This is the great prayer of the Apostle Paul, but that can be prayed for any Christian. This book is written to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so that would include you and I. And I want to pick up in verse 19. Now, he's praying here that we would know some things, and we would know some things by experience and see some things with that in as Christians. And he says in verse 19, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us?" Well, when you read that, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me? Everybody say me. Say us means me. So he's writing this and he's talking to us. "This the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought," or which he worked or demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, either underline that or mark that or write that down. When he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, this notice that before he was seated at the right hand, before he was placed in that position of authority over all principality and power, first he had to be raised from the dead. And Paul says he wants us to know what is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, because it is in the resurrection of Christ. In the resurrection of Christ, that we have the basis of our authority that we can walk in today. If Christ is not raised, the Bible says, then we're still in our sins. Amen. Now, thank God. And again, when you talk about this, I'm never, ever, you know, you'd be a foolish preacher to make light of what happened at the cross. Right? But I will say this, the cross wasn't the end. There had to be a resurrection. And even that wasn't the end. There was an ascension and a seating at the right hand of God. And even that's not the end. Guess what? There's a coming back again. Amen. It's going to happen. Glory to God. But this resurrection. So look at Luke 24. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight. And I want you to see that the early church, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, the same church we're part of. And, you know, sometimes I think when we read stuff in the book of Acts and we long for, oh, if we could just, you know, if we could just have something like Peter's shadow. Boy, if Peter was just here. If we could just find Peter's shadow. If he could just show up, we could get people to put him in the streets. What's wrong? You don't have a shadow? Same God, the same healing power, the same anointing that was in Peter's shadow is on your life today. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. To us, word, who believe. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 46. We'll just read this one verse here. This is after he opened up their understanding. It says, "And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved her, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now, I want you to notice that. It wasn't just the suffering. Thank God for the suffering. But notice Jesus said that he must, the Christ, of course, he's talking about himself, but the Christ, the Messiah, had to rise from the dead. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Now, here on the day of Pentecost, Peter's going to stand up and preach this sermon, you know. Pretty good sermon, right? How many people got saved that day, you remember? 3,000. Pretty good sermon. 3,000 people get saved. But look here, let's pick up in verse 22 and we'll read down here. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you know." Praise the Lord. It'll come. Amen. Is that one working? I don't think that one's working either. It's system-wide. I'll holler a little bit. Thursday morning, I'm headed to Kenya, so I'm going to get used to this. They just turn the power off all the time. There we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's preach quick, brother. It's going to get hot. The air conditioner doesn't turn back on. All right, here we go. Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David spoke concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That thou hast known, made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, his grave, is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Now, I want you to know, it's the very first sermon preached in the church was preached here by Peter. And I want you to notice the main theme of that sermon is Jesus is raised up from the dead. He is alive. He said, "You put him to death, but God has raised him up." Well, they kept this theme. Look over here in chapter 3. Now, this man had been there at the beautiful gate. The lame man had been healed. And they, as Peter said, you know, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he lifted him up, and the man went walking and leaping and praising God. Look at verse 11 now. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why do you look on us so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4. They're still giving defense for this very same thing. Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this lame man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole.'" Notice that. Notice the importance of the resurrection. If there had been no resurrection, listen, if there had been no resurrection, there would be no miraculous power today available. There would be no authority in the name of Jesus. The name, and we'll see it later, but the name wouldn't have that authority. But thank God Jesus is alive today. Amen? I tell our students all the time here at Raymond, we have no right to take a powerless gospel to a lost and dying world. We cannot go out there and tell somebody that they need to come to Christ. Why would you invite anyone to Christ if he was dead anyway? But not just come to Christ. I mean, there's so many other things involved that Jesus has done at the cross that are made available because he is alive.
Amen.
Amen. Look in chapter 5. Again, they keep this theme going. Verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let's read that again. We ought to obey God rather than men. You know, that day's upon us. We've come full circle back to this day. We don't want to hear you mention that name of Jesus. I'm sorry. You've come too late to tell me. I'm better obey God and not man. Well, what if they put you in prison? We'll have a revival there. It doesn't matter. Glory to God. Paul wrote half the New Testament from prison. Amen. Glory to God. I just hope I'm giving them enough evidence to put me in. Enough evidence that I believe in the name of Jesus. Enough evidence that I believe that Jesus is alive. That he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And that no man can come to the Father but by him. You can't come through Buddha. You can't come through Krishna. You can't come through Muhammad. You have to come through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the first time I ever made that statement. We're having an outdoor crusade in a little town called Shianda, which is in western Kenya. And it was hot that day. I mean, it was very hot. And we were underneath, it'd be like a strip mall that we have here, and it had an overhang there. So we were kind of underneath the shade. Now, but people were standing. I mean, they were 20, 30 people deep around us. As far left to right, you could see they'd come, you know. And I preached a brief message on salvation, you know, and what Jesus has done for us and that how he is alive. And I remember making that statement. Well, there was a small stir that went through the audience as I said that Muhammad, especially when I got to Muhammad, you know. And then I said, who wants to accept this Christ who is alive today? And everybody just looked at me. And several of them kept looking. Well, there was a young man right in front of me. And you realize on a hot day, we had called a stocking cap. If you're from Canada, a toque, you know what I'm saying? A snow hat, you know, in the winter. He had this knitted hat on. And I looked later on, there were several of these guys that had these hats on. But he's standing right there, young man. Young, you know, good-looking fella, strapping young man, you know. You could tell he was put together really well, you, that type of thing. But everybody kept notice. People kind of watched him. And so I just decided, well, hey, I might as well preach to him. So I just stepped right out in front of the pulpit, and I looked right at him, and I basically kind of went over to everything I just preached. I just preached the whole sermon again to him. Amen. And I said, now, how about you? Are you ready today to accept Jesus Christ? He's alive today. Are you ready? And he shot his hand up. Well, when he shot his hand up, the whole crowd shot their hand up. Found out later, he was the leader of a Muslim youth gang in that town. A month before we were there, which we weren't told, I wasn't told this till a whole year later. But a month before we were there, this same gang had run a bunch of Christians out of town, you know, they got out of town just barely with their lives. They beat them up, destroyed all their equipment, and told all the pastors in that area, don't you ever have another Christian group come to this town ever again. Well, there we were. It was 1996, December 1996. And I tell you what, three churches started after that one meeting there. With that young man. But he was the lead. Everybody did well once he decided. But you know, when I made that statement about Muhammad can't save you, it's almost like standing next to yourself, like, who said that? Because I knew this was a Muslim area we were in. I knew that ahead of time. And I was like, who said that? And I realized, I said that. But thank God, you know, when you're under the anointing sometimes, thank God Jesus is alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that resurrected power that resurrected him has resurrected me, glory to God. And he resurrected people there that day that made that decision. Hallelujah. God raised him up. Look here. Look what he said. Verse 30 of this chapter 5. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Now, we didn't see Jesus. Peter saw Jesus after he rose again. But Jesus said something about that. He said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. How many of you stand with the blessed then? Look over here in chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, here Peter at the household of Cornelius, there by supernatural leading, had a vision to go down to this centurion's, this Roman soldier who was a devout man and had a reverence for God and prayed to God. And he told him, send for a man named Peter, and he'll tell you words that you need to hear. So Peter came and preached to them. And verse 38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, or the alive and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice this theme. Are you picking up on this theme? How much they talked about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. Acts chapter 13. Glory to God. Here's Paul and Barnabas in Antioch. Preaching. Let's pick up in verse number 26. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is this word, is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled in them condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher or a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. I don't know about you, but this scripture in Ephesians 2, where it says, but God, that's my favorite phrase in the Bible. I don't care what's going on in your life, you're a but God away from your answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, nobody likes me, but God. Well, you know my family, but God. Well, I was born on the south side. Well, but God. I was born on the north side, but God. You might have been born on the tracks, I don't know, but God. It doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter what your past is. All you need is a but God. Because when it says but God, there's a resurrection getting ready to take place. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he loved us and raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. And he's not done. He said he's going to show us the riches of his grace throughout eternity. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You young preachers out there, if you just learn to quote and read scripture with a little bit of ump to it, you can preach a good sermon. These are good sermons. Amen. All right. But God, he said, raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up from, with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and we are witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now I wanted to get to that phrase there because that's important. Notice that this phrase in Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you, is not in reference to Jesus being born in Bethlehem. It's in reference to the resurrection of Christ. When God raised him from the dead, he declared by the resurrection, even though he had said it, remember at the baptism, his baptism, he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. But he's declared to be now the Son of God after the resurrection. This day, he said, have I begotten thee. Literally, if you want to think of it in this way, Jesus was the first born from the dead. Amen. He's the first begotten, the Bible calls him. Amen. This day. Well, we're begotten from the dead. We're born again. Now, we haven't received that resurrection body yet, but we're going to have one someday. But we are born again with him. Now, I want you to turn over now to Romans chapter 10. Now, I know in going through this, it's interesting. You know, and sometimes in dealing with people, why did they preach so much about the resurrection? Because that is what you must believe in order to put yourself in, the Bible says righteousness, but we could say this was in agreement with God's plan of salvation. You must believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Okay? And not just to become a Christian. Because the very first thing we read was not about becoming a Christian. It was written to Christians to gain more knowledge of that. So the resurrection from the dead is not just does not just affect us passing from death unto life, which it surely does. But Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, we are miserable. But we don't have hope just for this. We have hope that goes beyond this. For eternity. This resurrection of Christ was not a resurrection in which the person resurrected was going to die once again. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? You know Lazarus eventually died. Right? When Jesus raised the woman's son up off of that, you know, as they were carrying him out to bury, when he raised him up, that young fella eventually, I don't know when, he died again. Okay, anybody that was raised up until this time, when Jesus was raised from the dead, death no longer had any dominion or say-so over him. So he's not subject to death any longer. And there will come a day when you and I will never again ever be subject to death. But we don't have to wait for, we are to live far above all principality. And power and might and dominion, every name that is named. All right. Now here in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we're familiar with this, but let's look at it in light of the resurrection. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now notice, Now, again, I'm not making light of it, but it's not just to believe Jesus died for my sins. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, we're still in our sins. Now, he bore my sins at the cross. He bore my sickness and disease at the cross, but I walk in the reality of it because he rose from the dead. You see, it's like somebody who made out a will, wrote it all up, said salvation belongs to you. Included in that is eternal life, healing in your body, I'm going to meet all your needs according to riches and glory. I'm going to do all these things for you while you're here. Then after this life is over, I'm going to eventually give you a resurrected body. When you're absent from this body, you'll be present with me. All these things in there. He wrote all these things. And then, you know, when you make a will, it doesn't go into force until you what? You have to die. Now, this will that we have, this covenant, it's between God and Jesus. But Jesus, the Bible says, the mediator of this covenant. But he's the only one that's ever done this. He wrote out all the will, got it all. It's all done, you know, everything like that. Everything's taken care of. It's a done deal. When God says it, that's it. But Jesus rose from the dead to make sure and to guarantee you get what's in the will. He's the only one that's ever done it. You may think you're going to try, but it's not going to happen. If Jesus tarries, when you leave, now your will will be carried out if you've got it all legally done. But when you leave, you don't have another say about it. It's over for you. But Jesus wasn't willing to let the devil come in and take back from what he'd won for us. And so he rose, God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says he sits at the right hand of God where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Hallelujah. Every time. That's why I said, go to God in my name. All right. Now look here. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. See, when I believe, I put myself, not an earned righteousness, but I put myself in agreement with God. And that's a right place with God. That's right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, you know the word saved, sozo, and the word salvation, soteria, from the Greek there. They mean more than just being born again. Amen. You can receive everything that Jesus has bought and paid for from these two verses right here. If you just act on these two verses. Well, I need healing in my body. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Oh, yeah. Well, confess him as Lord over your body then. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if I could just be where Peter's shadow is. Peter said, it's not by my own holiness, by my might or dominion. It's by him who's raised from the dead that this man's made whole. One more place, Hebrews chapter 1. So this authority, and that authority is released as we use the name of Jesus. Released as we act upon the word of God. Here in Hebrews chapter 1, we begin in verse 3. Speaking of Jesus here. Says, who being the brightness of his glory. In other words, of God's glory. And the express image of his person. That's another way of saying if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And upholding all things by the rhema of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now again, when did this take place? In Bethlehem? No, it took place at the resurrection. Right? Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, again, not at Bethlehem, but bringing him in the resurrection, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And let all of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. Oh my. God, the Father, just turned to Jesus and called him God. Meaning, everything I have is yours. That's what he told Jesus. And Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Now you go, therefore, and in my name do these things. Amen. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. How does righteousness come? By believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. And that is the scepter of this kingdom. that Jesus died, yes, but he's alive today. He rose again. The pains of death could not hold him. He could not see corruption. Hell could not hold him. He rose from the dead. The devil could not defeat him. Jesus rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And based upon that, then, we can operate in the authority that has been delegated to us by the head of this body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The resurrected Christ. The resurrection power. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, he said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you," or in us. What power? Resurrection power. Amen? I mean, dear God. Romans says in Romans chapter 6 that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And in Romans 8, verse 11, well, Craig preached a great sermon on that the other day. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. That same spirit. Well, what was it? The glory of God or the spirit of God? Yes. What was it? Was that power, that resurrection power. And he's given the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of each believer. And then he's also brought a second work of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What kind of power? Resurrection power. Amen. And based on that, not upon me. It's not according to my own holiness. Not according to my own righteousness. It's according to what he has done. I get into it by believing. You see. Now, I sure don't want to live a life that would, like Brother Hagin used to talk about, clog up the pipe. Amen? But you saw people, there's people. I mean, if you just go back and study church history, go back into, from about 1948, 49 up through the late 50s, there was a great healing revival, not just here in the United States, it went around the world. But there were some of those ministers that got off and started living just really ungodly lives, yet they'd show up in their services and they'd preach the word of God, and the power of God would manifest and heal people, great miracles would take place. It wasn't because of them. It was because Jesus had risen from the dead and people dared to believe that Jesus was alive. And when you believe it, you can receive of that resurrection power. Now, that doesn't give us a license to live wrong. I'm not saying that. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. But it does show us, give us a glimpse. This is the basis of the power and the authority that we're to walk in. And if you want, if you really, 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 this is to really understand what this ministry has taught concerning faith, it's all based in the fact that we have been given authority. It's the great foundation, the great foundation. That's why that book, Believer's Authority, I think everybody, you just ought to read it every year, twice. Amen. Because what Brother Hagin, when he talked about faith and speaking words that we could, how to write in your own ticket, all those different things that people just went nuts about. Oh, you can't do that. You can't. But yes, you can, because you've been given authority. When you understand the authority that we've been given, you can't help but to call things that be not as though they were. You can't help but to speak out the desire. You can't help. It's not about power. It's not about the power of positive thinking. It's not about, you know, that. It's not about how many times I can say it. It's because I believe it, therefore I say it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why I really thank God for men and women whom God uses and things. But you know what? Every one of you in here right now that is born again, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. You have got the resurrection power of God on the inside of you. And that's why Jesus said believers can lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Can miracles be done? Because it's already in you. You don't need Brother Tad to come. You don't need to get 25,000 people to pray for you. It's already, your answer is already here. Amen. Now thank God for people God uses in different ways, and there are gifts of healings, and there are working miracles, and God manifests through people. But the resurrection power of God is available to every one of us to walk in and to minister to others in. Yes, you. You don't need Peter's shadow. You make a shadow. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. You raised him up, God. You raised Jesus from the dead. And he is alive today. And we declare that he is our Savior. He is our Lord. And in his name, the name of Jesus, we believe and we declare tonight. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. 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 We give you glory. Let's just begin to worship him. Just begin to worship him. Hallelujah. 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 You know, Papa, Siketo Tomani Mandi Gidji Gundubla Dad Gilitin the Ma, Estu Kustutun de Kiriste. Aha, ha, Epistukunde, maybe. Amanda Kushiti de Kishi Janginda Dandandanda, Papa. Ah, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Well, I hear this. These are times that have been talked about for many, many years. Just as I said, in the word that in olden days the prophets long looked at these days, saw them and longed for them, yet did not reach them. These are days that many that have gone before have looked to and longed for, yet they are now in the grandstands, in the great grandstands of heaven, that great cloud of witnesses, making up that group that is there watching and observing. But you are here now at what would be these times that there shall be great, great, great outpourings and manifestations, not just so much in when you come together, but you're going to see these things as you begin to walk them out, not in a way that is to make a name for yourself, not in a way that is to draw attention to yourself, but in a way that when a person that you see in need and you minister to them and you can walk away and they don't even know your name, they don't even know where you went, all they know is God has healed them, that God has met their need. And there shall be a greater manifestation of these things. And you're going to see wave upon wave, not only wave, great, great waves coming together that you've heard about in the past. These things shall surely affect in these days. And a window has come, and a door of utterance has been opened for you, not the preacher, but for you, the body of Christ. No matter what your calling, no matter what your gifting, a door has been opened for you to see the miraculous, to be part of the supernatural, and to see lives changed. There'll be great meetings and there'll be great outpourings in those meetings. But yet, there's to be great outpourings in your daily life as you encounter that one or those two that need a touch of God, that need the power of God. And you'll not look around and say, I wish so-and-so was here. But you'll realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has empowered you by His Spirit. And that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now in you. And as you pray, and as you lay hands on that person, that power drives out sickness and drives out disease. And you'll see miraculous things take place. But yet you'll know it won't be because of you. You'll know that it wasn't you. You'll know that it was God. And therefore you can walk away and never receive credit. It won't matter to you. All that matters is that people's needs are met. These days are upon us. These days are here now. Let the body of Christ rise up and take our place and walk in the fullness of what the resurrection power has called us to be. And that we live a resurrected life. A life that's free. A life that is full of joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in these days. And you hold your head up high. And you walk around as you are somebody, as an ambassador of the Almighty God. And no one by their look or by their facial expression or by their words can affect you. No shame can come near you because you know who you are and you know to whom you belong. And you look upon them with compassion. And you just say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because you know you have the resurrection power on the inside of you. And it's there in you. And that we are here as the body of Christ on this earth. Those of us that are here. Yes, we have brothers and sisters in heaven. Yes, the body of Christ is there also. But we are here still. That we might be His ambassadors and His representatives. That we might do His will and His bidding. And this gospel. The gospel that Jesus is alive, that He's risen from the dead, shall be preached in all the earth. And only then shall the end come. But it's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. That veil is growing thin. That veil that stands between time, that separates the time that you're now in and the time that is to come. That veil between now and eternity is growing much thinner and thinner and thinner. And some of you, many of you, will be able to look and see, and you'll see into that time. Some will even be tempted to walk over there. But stay. Stay where I have you now, because you're needed in this place and in this time. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Great, 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 great shall be the fruit. Great shall be the fruit. And it won't matter. It won't matter. It won't matter if you're of this or if you're of that. What camp you're here, what camp you're there. The only thing that matters is the resurrection power of Christ. That resurrection power, that will matter in these days. And so work one with another. Pray one for another. Help one another. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. You can leave that. Yes, thank you, Father. We'll talk later about that. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand. Stand and lift your hands and your voices up to the Lord. Lift your hearts up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the God of miracles. You were raised from the dead. You raised Jesus from the dead, and you, Father, are the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you find somebody there around you? Find somebody around you. Join with them. Join hands with them. Pray. Pray for them right now. In the name of Jesus. If you're watching us, I don't know if anybody's watching. I'm going to speak to these that are watching. You pray right now for people around you. If you're watching us right now, I don't know what you need in your life, but I'm here to tell you right now that the resurrection power of Christ, of God, that raised Christ from the dead is available, and it's for you right now. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be free from that situation. Be free from it in Jesus' name. If you happen to be watching this or listening to this right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you God raised him from the dead victorious. He is Lord of all. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And you have the right and the privilege right now to confess him as your Lord. And you'll pass from death unto life. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe the healing power and the miracle working power of God's working in your life right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let us know what took place in your life. As we're praying one for another here, we pray for you. Let us know. Let us know what's taking place. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just in a moment, we're going to dismiss the service. When we do, if you'd like to talk to somebody more about your situation, you can do that. Hallelujah. That just as soon as we do that. Connection team, find those first-time guests as you're taken to that place. Dan, let's go ahead and sing through that, what you're playing. Go ahead, if you've got something there. Connection team, you can go ahead and take our guests. Hallelujah. Let's sing this with Dan. Hallelujah.
And by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King has resurrected me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The
resurrected in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you tonight. We go from this place in the power of the resurrection. Father, may we know that power. May we walk in that power in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer, you want to talk to anybody about these, come down, guys to the guys, ladies to the ladies. God bless you. Tell somebody that Jesus is alive and you can be dismissed tonight.